Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in Psalms 65. We just jumped into verse 1 here, so we're going to take it away. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, of them that are far off and upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, by being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also shall dwell in the uttermost parts. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop into the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thy works! Through greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I will pay thee my vows. How many of you have made a vow unto our God? How many people have said, I have accepted you as my Lord? Or how many people have just said, Jesus is Lord? Do you know the proclamation of Jesus as Lord? Do you know that that proclamation is a vow? That's a vow. If you say Jesus is Lord or Jesus is my Lord, That's a vow. That's a vow that he is your Lord and you are his subject. Or you say something like, I gave my life to Christ in, 1983 or whenever. I gave my life to Jesus. I belong to him. Those are vows. Are they not vows? So if you gave your life to him, that's a vow. I've given you my life. Now, it's yours. So I'm going to do whatever I want with it, right? No, it's not mine anymore. I can't do whatever I want. I made a vow. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I wouldn't think it a light thing for you to say something like Jesus is Lord or I got saved. Well, I got saved in whatever. That's the year I got saved. And I don't know why the scripture says work out your salvation. Yeah, the being saved thing. With fear and trembling, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. So you can say you gave him your life, but you can't say I got saved in 1982. I mean, I guess you can say anything you want, but the scripture says that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You pay your vows, in other words. And because if you don't pay your vows, well, there better be a lot of fear and trembling if you make a vow and you don't keep it. So you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and he who endures to the end endures what? Well, keeping his vows. That's right. He who allows the Holy Spirit, because that's really the vow. When you say, I was saved, or you say, I gave my life to Jesus, or you say, Jesus is Lord, or Yahshua is Lord, however you might want to put it, what you're saying is that he's in charge. And he says, well, I send my Holy Spirit into your life to convict you of sin, to teach you righteousness, so that my law may be written upon your heart, and you may be my people, and I might be your God. That's the vow. So keep your vows, people. Realize first that you've made a vow, and he expects you to pay the vow. We've all made a vow if we call ourselves the people of God. Otherwise, without a vow, you cannot be his. Without a vow, you cannot enter in his kingdom. If you say you repented and you've given your life to him, he is now your Lord, then that is your vow. And you got it. It's just like all of these other contracts that people made with the world. They're vows. That's right. And you know what? There is a way out of the vow. Yes. But you can't have the benefits of the vow if you get out. Because if you don't like his kingdom, if you don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you want to hold on to this sin or that sin, you can kid yourself. You can be like the scribes, the Pharisees, the pastors, the teachers, and the hypocrites that lead you up to the kingdom, but they suffer you not to enter because they don't go in themselves. They just sit there at the brink and they feel all holy. I'm saved, they'll declare. I'm saved, saved, saved. And no one can snatch me out of his hands. And once saved, always saved. But they're just sitting up there at the brink. You know, they've gone up to the kingdom, but they don't enter. And they don't allow those who are following them to enter. They just want to hold them at the brink. Why? Because they don't want the Holy Spirit to work. They don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. They don't want to give up some idolatry, some sin, some iniquity. They want to hold on to something. They just can't quite make it across the border into the kingdom of heaven. So keep your vow. Don't let it be empty words. There's enough empty words. He says, I will go to the house. I will go to thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered. And my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. Oh, yes. You know how many people, they get into trouble and God, you get me out of this. And I will do whatever you want. That's a vow, isn't it? I will do whatever you want. A lot of people say that some people are a little more conservative and I'll give $1,000 to charity or something, perhaps he was going to get him out of it anyway, or they were going to get out of anything anyway, and They think, oh, well, God didn't really do it, so they don't pay their vow. Or they just go on and forget all about their vow. And go, did I really? Did I make a promise to God? I don't think I did. I'm just dead. Whatever. And they move on and forget about it. But David says here, I will pay thee my vows, which I have uttered with my mouth, which my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. And of course, referring back to the, the priest temple sacrifice system, but applicable today. We should pay our vows. If we give him our life, he doesn't want burnt offerings of animals. He wants us. That's right. He wants our lives. He wants every minute of every day. And he rewards those that keep their vows. So the rewards are greater than anything you can give, in keeping your vow. The rewards that come from him are greater, and they are everlasting. Verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Got a reservation to sin? Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? He will not hear you. But verily, God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away from my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So David, a man who's done some terrible things. We've all done terrible things, or at least desire to do terrible things in our lives. And according to the raised standard of the Messiah, just desiring to do a terrible thing is the same sin as doing it. Let's move on to Psalm 67. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of or song, God be merciful unto me, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, that thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And what a day it'll be when the resurrection, when Yeshua comes, that stone created without hands, strikes the image in the feet, and becomes a great mountain symbolizing the kingdom of God, and it fills the whole earth. The nations, all the nations, will rejoice in our Heavenly Father and will praise the God of our salvation. Psalm 68. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And I say, amen. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. And you know, this is the one place in the authorized, well, in the 1611 King James Version. Let me take a look at that in the 16. I don't think I've ever done that. 68:4, and it says Yah, and it's spelled I-A-H. At least they didn't spell it with a J in the 1611. I've got that at my fingertips on my e-sword. And for all of you that aren't using eSword yet, if you're computer savvy at all, or at least have a computer, you should go to e-hyphen sword.net and download the program there and get it. And you can download different Bible versions. I have the one that comes with the sword is the King James Version plus the Strong's Greek and Hebrew. So you get the Textus Receptus, the majority text from which the King James Version was translated by mousing over each word. You can see the original word, and then you get Strong's definitions with it. And you can search the word out in the original language to see how it was translated in other parts of the scripture. And that way we have scripture translating scripture rather than man translating scripture. And I also have downloaded the 1611. Just perchance, if you're interested in that, you go and you can find out there ain't a J in the whole thing. And you can learn a lot about the changes in the translation from the 1611 to, I believe it was the 1790s when the authorized version, what is called the authorized version, is an update by some scholars. And it was authorized by some denominations. That's why it's called the authorized version. I keep hearing people say the AV 1611, and there's no such thing. The authorized version is not the 1611. 1611 is the 1611. The authorized version came more than 100 years later during the 1790s, where they updated the language and they changed the names of the scripture and added the J's and did a lot of things to the scripture there. So we have here the one place in the King James translation, even if you go back to the 1611, where they left the name of the creator in. I believe this is the one place here, and it's 68, chapter 68, or Psalm 68, verse 4. And it says, I will sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. And it's, I believe it's phonetically pronounced here, Yah. And it's spelled I-A-H instead of a Y-A-H, as in Yah. But phonetically, it says Yah, I-A-H, and rejoice before him. Of course, in the authorized version, I'll switch over there, and they changed it to J-A-H, Jah, because Jehovah, well, was popularized, and all of the names being changed to having J's in them was popularized by the authorized King James Version. And I'm still kind of wondering, I still haven't found any documentation on why they did that. Some of the updates in the language are self-explanatory, because, I mean, you're only 180 to 90 years from the original 1611 King James translation to this, to updating the scripture. So they had some language changes, and we've had quite a few since then, so that even some of the authorized King James Version is still archaic. But be that as it may be, it still is the best English translation we have of the Word of God. And it is invaluable to have the eSword, or if you're into a little bit more labor, a laborious type study, you can get a printed copy of the King James Version, and you can set next to it your Strong's Greek Hebrew Concordance and your Young's Greek Hebrew Concordance, which I used to do before the computer things became available. So I've been around a little while. And I still have both of those, the Strong's and the Young's, although I don't use them anymore because I have it at my fingertips here. I don't have the Young's, but on the computer I have the Strong's, because I don't see anyone has put the Young's on there yet. But perhaps it would be nice to have both. Perhaps that's a project that eSword should take on, so you can have both, so you can switch back and forth from either. But they're pretty much the same, with very insignificant differences between the Strong's and the Young's Greek-Hebrew concordance and dictionaries. But there it is. They left the name in Yah, or at least it's his name truncated. You know, it would be like you saying, instead of calling me Nicholas, it would be like saying Nick, which I really prefer my home name, Nicholas, because Nick is somebody else, or something bad that happens to your prized coffee table. You know, you get a nick in it, or your favorite coffee cup or something anyway. But that's my personal preference. And we find variations on the name. We find Yah, if we go back to the Hebrew, we find Yahuwah. That's the most numerous. And, you know, we find that more than 6,000 times, the phonetically pronounced in the Hebrew Yahuwah, translated as the Lord, most of the time. And we find Yahweh. And, then we find here Yah, his name, Yah, just declared the first, syllable in the Hebrew. And let me see, where am I at? Okay. King James Plus version there with the Hebrew. So I mouse over and that's what it says, Yah. And that's the pronunciation given by our friend, in the Strong's Greek, Hebrew concordance and dictionary and pronunciations. So, by his name Yah and his name Yahuwah, it's not Jehovah, it's Yahuwah, because the V was not pronounced. And if you go back to the 1611, you can find that there too, that the V's and the U's are juxtaposed in the 1611. You go, what happened there? And why is a W actually a double V? Well, it's because the V used to be a U. And so we see changes even in the English language over the past few hundreds of years that we've had since the early English translation in the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. And we'll pick up here and we'll carry on with chapter 68 or Psalm 68 next time on Cross the Border. So as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, praise his holy name.